a non-religious person, in other words, you could say a non-religious person also, you know, they may not be in a church or a particular religious approach, but it may, whatever is their ultimate concern is their, what they're putting their faith in. And again, it could be their nation or their family or themselves or the world or some idea they have of spiritual power or something in the universe. But that's their, what they're putting their faith in, and that is their faith. So there isn't any, Tillich would say there's no one without faith. And the other possibility, which I think occurs in many people, is that really there, you don't have an ultimate concern. Instead, you have a lot of sort of competing, what he called penultimate concerns that are sort of, and there you have sort of temporary ultimate concerns. One will rise up for a while, and then the other one will come up. But basically, you have a personality that's in a lot of inner conflict.
Okay. Yeah, and you're going to get into that a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll get into that more later.
Okay, and then the last question is, how is spiritual cognitive therapy different from regular cognitive therapy?
Right, and that, again, I think the main difference, actually there are a lot of similarities, I think the main difference is that one is more, spiritual cognitive therapy is self-consciously dealing with people's ultimate concerns, their top value issues, their worldviews, and those types of things more clearly and sort of unabashedly and without any kind of defensive statements about it. It's like, we do that because it's a very important thing to deal with, not that we do it only if we're forced to do it. Where I think a lot of traditional therapists kind of avoid those kinds of issues, like we were trained. We only get into it only if the client leads us there and we feel like we have to or something. So it's a little more of a defensive approach. And also by being conscious of it and aware of it, it helps us really look. And what I found, since I've changed my view and started looking for those things in clients and letting them move into that direction, that a lot more comes out. And you can really begin to see, it's fascinating to see the connections between the things they put their faith in and their presenting problems. It just amazes me. And I really think in the future there should be a lot more research on that. So, okay. And this is a diagram that we've got here.
It's in your handouts, by the way, because it's pretty complicated.
And just to kind of give you an idea here of what, just to summarize a lot of things I've been saying up to this point. Now, the higher self, we're going to talk about later, but that's sort of what we think should be in the place of the ultimate concern. Remember, this diagram only shows the way it should be more ideally. Anything could be in this top position in your personality as an ultimate concern. Your executive self is the part of you that has all the traditional skills, your self-image and so forth, your philosophy, worldview, and then you've got the lower parts of your cognitive system, your regular skills, your daily habits, and all that kind of thing at the bottom. And of course, all of these interact with your emotions. So it's just sort of an overall diagram of trying to put the personality as we see it in some sort of perspective.
This might come back up if you're using this. Okay, the next part of the workshop that we would like to talk about are the core issues for spiritual cognitive therapy, which we really believe is the core of spiritual cognitive therapy and where we'll be spending the time. The two issues that we're going to cover mostly today will be the ultimate concern and our natural higher self. Those will be the two where we'll focus our time.